بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In this week, we had the blessed anniversary of the birth of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Mawla al-Muwahideen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya'asub al-Din, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. The one who considered himself an abd, a slave of the slaves of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, someone who sacrificed everything he had in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a young person, he dedicated all his time to Islam from as early as 10 years of age, alongside the Prophet. In his teen years, he accepted the position of the Khilafah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi in the context of Anzir Ashiratak al-Aqrabin, when the Prophet called over his family members as God had told him, had instructed him, and he presented to them his message and he asked them, who will join me to be my successor and to be my wazir, my assistant? And the only one who stood up was Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. And that age, he understood his responsibility, he accepted it. And after the demise of the Holy Prophet, with all the difficulties that were there, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, took on the responsibility of guiding the Ummah after the demise of the Holy Prophet, and he did so despite the opposition he found in some of the prominent members of the companions of the Prophet. That did not stop him from proceeding and leading the Ummah. Ali ibn Abi Talib led the Ummah. Ali ibn Abi Talib in this context teaches us that the responsibility to be involved as God has commanded us and instructed us in regards to the well-being of the Ummah, that includes their social affairs, their political affairs, who rules, how they rule, what direction the Ummah has. This is a responsibility that we cannot shy away from, even if we find that sort of opposition from within, on top of and in addition to all of the opposition to Islam from outside its borders that the Muslimin were facing at the time. There was opposition against his rule, his leadership within the Ummah. Yet Ali ibn Abi Talib took on that responsibility. The notion that Ali ibn Abi Talib for 25 years was sitting at home doing nothing is a completely wrong understanding of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He had been given the responsibility by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he took that responsibility, as prophets are told in the Quran, خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ. Take your instructions with power and might and whatever ability you have in whatever context and condition. Ali ibn Abi Talib was one who did not take his responsibilities lightly. He was responsible, he took them seriously, and it's because of his involvement in those conditions that the Ummah moved in the direction of the Prophet as much as it did. If Ali ibn Abi Talib had abandoned the Ummah, if he would have sat at home and done nothing, it would have deviated in ways that we find other religions. Zoroastrianism was a religion that the Prophet, this is in Persia as far as we know, the Persians had that religion. This is according to our ahadith and the indications in the Holy Quran. This was a divine religion. They had a prophet. They killed the prophet and they burned the book and they created another book with completely different instructions. Which is why Zoroastrianism doesn't really have much that we see, at least evidently, being a divine and monotheistic religion. But according to our accounts, it's very clear that it was one with a prophet from God. This is what happened, and so what's left of the legacy of that prophet has traces of divine instruction, but there's a lot of wrong in it. Over a short period of time, a very short period of time, that would have also happened. There were plenty of people with motives to do so. The reason why that did not happen is because Ali ibn Abi Talib was involved, as he says himself. We know this because we know he takes responsibilities seriously. We also know it because he has told us in Nahjul Balagha, one of the sermons Amir al-Mu'mineen has given and has been recorded in that book, although that does not contain all of the sermons of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and not everything that's there is necessarily said by Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's a compilation. But it is, and this particular one is an authentic and accurate one that has been mentioned. It's referred to as Al-Khutbah Al-Qasi'ah, or Khutbah Al-Qasi'ah. In this khutbah, Ali ibn Abi Talib explains a lot of very important things. One of the things that he explains is that he came out and he was involved, and he explains what he did. You can refer to that khutbah. This is an important message for all of us. The wrong understanding that Muslimin have generally developed, which is the understanding that we as Muslimin, our Islam has to do with our prayer. Our Islam has to do with our fasting. Our Islam has to do with attending Hajj. Unfortunately, in the view of Muslimin generally today, even taking care of Hajj is not considered a matter related to Islam. We consider it a matter related to the government of Saudi Arabia, the Al Saud family, la'natullah alayhim. We generally think that that's what they need to do. They just need to allow us, we go over there. No, taking care of Hajj is part of Islamic responsibilities. The Prophet appointed Amirul Hajj. Amirul Mu'mineen appointed Amirul Hajj. There's got to be someone that leads the Hujjaj, takes care of their needs, makes sure everyone performs the Hajj properly and correctly. And they did so as part of the government. It's a responsibility that governments have. It's an Islamic responsibility that governments have. As Muslimin, we have got to care about who is taking care of Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabi, and the Masha'ir, taking care of Mash'ar al-Haram, Mina, Arafat, and all these various sacred places, and the whole process of Hajj. Unfortunately, we don't even see that as being part of Islam. Part of Islam is just each individual going to Mecca and performing Hajj. That's all we unfortunately consider. The responsibilities that Islam puts on the shoulders of Muslimin are not limited to individual salat, individual sawm, individual hajj, individual anything. Even the salah involves jama'ah, involves congregation. The individual prayer, as it seems to be a relationship between a person and their Lord, Islam does not give it to us as simply something between you and God. He says, God says, come together and perform this. Not only that, he says it's mandatory for you to gather together one day of the week, and you need to have a khatib, you need to have a speaker talk to you, remind you of the various aspects of taqwa, including matters of taqwa that are related to your social political context. It's necessary. Islam says this is what the religion is. Even that prayer that seems to be the relationship of a person with their God, and it seems to us unfortunately, with our ignorant minds, untrained, without looking at the Quran, it seems like it's just something between me and God, and I want to try to find a private corner and pray to God and make that connection. God says, I don't want that prayer. Yeah, sure, I want that for recommended prayers, but that's not what I want for the Jum'ah prayer. You have to come together and you need to have a speaker that speaks to you regarding these matters. You need to come together and form congregations daily for your daily prayers. You need to come together. Hajj is a ritual that involves the gathering of believers. You have to be together. And being together requires an institution to organize all the needs right there in Hajj. It's a social, political event. Within Hajj, the chapter of Bara'ah, based off of which, as Imam Khomeini mentioned, the idea of Bara'ah from the Mushrikeen to announce that we are not going to be with the Mushrikeen, with the Kuffar, with those who are against Islam, those plotting against Islam, those fighting Islam, we're not with them. And that chapter being revealed and announced in Hajj, part of what needs to happen in Hajj is for us to announce to the world our positions as Muslimin. We need to remind each other and also to present to the Kuffar the word of the Muslimin, this great congregation of Muslimin. At Hajj, there's a message for the Mushrikeen, for the Kuffar. That message needs to be delivered. Muslimin need to come together and make sure they understand what their position towards the enemies of Islam are, and make sure they remind each other, this is what we are going to do, this is what we believe in, this is what we are moving towards, this is our stance on the United States of America, this is our stance against Israel, this is our stance against any enemy of Islam. This is part of Hajj. Let alone the particular responsibility of taking the affairs of Muslimin on a political scale in terms of organizing themselves, governing themselves. That's an Islamic responsibility. How they govern themselves, who they choose to be their leader in that. These are Islamic responsibilities that Ali ibn Abi Talib reminds us we need to be involved with. We cannot shy away from them. We cannot neglect them. Hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides our minds and enables us to have better understanding in this regard and try to push away the residue of the teachings of the kuffar, the colonialists, the imperialists that came. And I use those terms. These are not common terms these days. People think that we've moved away from that. Let's not forget, it's because of the imperialists and the colonialists coming to Muslim regions and over the course of 150 years, presenting their views, pumping their ideas into Muslim minds, that some of these things, some of these changes in the way we view things as Muslimin has happened. We need to make sure we get rid of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen that he helps us do so. The next event that we had this week that we need to remember, it is very relevant to us as Muslimin in the United States of America. One of, if not the greatest, at least one of the greatest shuhada of the United States of America is Shaheed Malcolm X, as he was known. He adopted a different name, Haj Malik, if I remember correctly, but most people know him as Malcolm X. And although we encourage everyone to learn the new name that he adopted, that's part of his change. When we are speaking of him, in order for everyone to understand who we are referring to, we need to use the common known name of that great figure and that great shaheed. It is important for every Muslim to know about this shaheed. What to know about him? Know that he was a shaheed. Knowing that he's a shaheed tells us that he was part of jihad fi sabilillah. He was involved with jihad fi sabilillah against the great Satan from within. And because of his struggle against the great Satan from within, they took him out. The United States government took him out. I don't give a damn about who it was that pulled the trigger, whether it was a Negro or a white person or Middle Eastern, or I don't know what their ethnic background was. It makes no difference whatsoever. And it's not that the United States of America watched it happen. The United States of America took the life of this Mujahid fi sabilillah. Everything else is all a distraction. This is what we know and we need to know and understand regarding Shaheed Malcolm X. And it's important that we uphold the memory of Shuhada. It's very important. Imam al-Hussein, Ruhi Fida, was martyred in a struggle against the tyrant of the time, Yazid, and against tyranny. He was martyred, Zainab salamullahi alayha, under the instructions of Imam Zainul Abidin salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. They made sure they go back to Karbala in a context, in a condition, at a time, in circumstances that it would not make sense for anyone to choose to go there for a visit. The first Arba'een of Imam al-Hussein, 40 days after his martyrdom, after in the process of moving from Kufa to Sham, after being moved to Kufa from Karbala, changing the view of the people towards what happened in Karbala, and making the event of Karbala one that would be a crime on the hands of Yazid, blood on the hands of Yazid, exposing the tyranny of Yazid, exposing the wrongness of Yazid, instead of it being a celebration that Yazid had planned, after they were done with doing that and stirring things up in Sham, where Yazid felt threatened, and he asked him, "Where do I send you?" He started to act as though he wasn't at fault and he wanted to honor them. They said, "We want to go to Karbala." They went to Karbala. Going there sent a message. At that time, and it being recorded in history, sent a message. They arrived in Medina. Again, they didn't just go into their home. They made sure they had a session and they talked about what happened in Karbala. The memory of Shuhada needs to be kept alive, because it's part of that struggle that we are all part of. We are, as Muslimin, part of the struggle that Malcolm X was part of and he was martyred in the process of. We as Muslimin are that. If we are not, then we have to question our Islam. We've got to question our Islam. As Muslimin, we are part of that struggle. And we have got to continue that struggle. Part of continuing that struggle is keeping alive the memory of the Shuhada. For many reasons. To learn from them. Learn what Malcolm X used to say. The wisdom found in the words of Malcolm is wisdom that is astonishing. It is truly mind-boggling for me when I read and I listen to, alhamdulillah, we have the recordings of some of, at least, the speeches of this great Mujahid fi sabilillah and this Shaheed. I'm truly amazed at the level of awareness, intelligence, wisdom, insight that this man had in his struggle against the Taghut, how well he understood the nifaq, the hypocrisy of the system, the plots of the system. That's one thing that's important for us to learn to understand correctly their hypocrisy and what they're really trying to do, and that we don't fall for that and we don't change course. Another thing that you need to learn from Malcolm is to learn to be unwavering on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malcolm changed course during his life a number of times. He never changed course from the path of Allah, away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He got more and more on course in regards to that. His struggle against the establishment was not something that he ever changed course from. It was something that he became more staunch at. He changed, he left certain ideologies that he identified as being incorrect after going to Hajj and seeing Islam from a different source and realizing that there were problems with the version that he was presented as Islam. He left those wrong ways, but he became more staunch, more adamant, more clear in his struggle against the Tawud, against the Shaytan. No matter what they did to try to change him, break him from within that organization that he left, from outside of that, all the rumors against him, all the words against him, everything was to try to get Malcolm to stop giving those insightful, encouraging words that brought to life the souls and the minds of people, brought awareness to people, gave courage to people to come out, took away fear from them. Just saying those words gave courage to people. I saw this man saying those difficult words to say with so much courage, with so much confidence. We have to learn that. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of the shuhada as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the ma'asumeen, by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen particularly, by the right of the Imam of our time, this was Friday, the day to remember the Imam of our time, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us learn from all these shuhada, make us learn from the shaheed that is Tharullah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, above all. Learn our responsibilities from them, and inshallah continue the struggle until we see the Imam of our time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen.